music of Lionel Hampton. Early this morning, the giant of jazz died of heart failure in a New York hospital. He was 94 years old. Dean Olscher of member station WNYC in New York looks at the career of the man who made the jazz world take the vibraphone seriously.
Lionel Hampton was not the first musician to play jazz on the vibraphone, which, by the way, he called the vibraharp. He was, though, the first to record a jazz solo on one, and that happened the first day he ever touched the instrument. Now, that was less of a big deal than it may seem on the surface. The vibraphone is basically an electrified xylophone, which he called a xylophone, and which he already knew how to play. Hampton stepped up to a vibraphone the first time one day in 1930 when he was the drummer for a recording session led by trumpet legend Louis Armstrong.
He asked me, could I play anything on him? I said, sure. You know, I was a brazen young kid because I had played the xylophones, and in between while I played the xylophones, I used to listen to Louis Armstrong and Coleman Hawkins play on the recordings, and I'd take their solos off and start to play them on the xylophones. So I moved, he said, well, move them out of the middle of the floor and play something. I'll never forget those words. And I played one of his solos, and that knocked him out. And he said, come on, you're going to play on this record.
In 1936, another first, Lionel Hampton helped break the color barrier in jazz when he joined the King of Swing, clarinetist Benny Goodman, in a quartet with pianist Teddy Wilson and drummer Gene Krupa. For the next 4 years, Hampton was part of the biggest musical phenomenon of the time. In 1940, Hampton went on to start his own big band. Some of the great jazz musicians of the time passed through the group, including Clifford Brown, Quincy Jones, Charles Mingus, Wes Montgomery, and Illinois Jacquette. Hampton was a performer through and through, always smiling, shouting, dancing, making fans happy. The music was swing, but the energy was R&B. His band had a reputation for whipping audiences into a frenzy. Once, Harlem's Apollo Theater had to be evacuated when people stomped so hard the balcony cracked. And yet, one of the things critic Francis Davis admired about Hampton was his restraint.
Hampton can play as fast as anybody, but at the same time, there's something very spare about his playing, and he's one of those players who can, I think, hear silence as part of a musical phrase, as another musician once put it to me. I think that's the secret in terms of giving your work some sense of spaciousness, and Hampton certainly has that.
For all the joy Hampton's band brought to fans, there was unhappiness within. He and his wife Gladys, who managed the Hampton organization, had a reputation for not giving the players their fair share of the take. In 1989, three-quarters of the band refused to board a plane bound for Japan because they felt they weren't being paid enough. Hampton hired Japanese musicians for the tour. In the 1950s, saxophonist Benny Golson was in the band, briefly.
I didn't leave because of any musical reasons. It was about money, you know. And I wish I had stayed, me and my principals, because right after I left the band, I got a card from Quincy in Europe somewhere, Scandinavia. Oh, we're so sorry you didn't come with us. We're recording every day with this one and that one. And I put my hand on my forehead and said, me and my principals. I missed out on all of it.
Golson was referring not to Hampton Band recordings, but small group sessions that were done in secret because Hampton had forbidden his players from making records outside the band. They did it anyway, sneaking out of their hotel rooms under cover of darkness. Beyond his success in music, Hampton made lots of money in real estate, and he was active in politics. A California congressman named Richard Nixon brought him into the Republican Party, and yet it was a Democratic president who awarded Hampton the National Medal of Arts. It was yet another testament to Lionel Hampton's perseverance when he showed up in a borrowed suit to accept the medal from Bill Clinton. Only 2 days before, Hampton had been forced out of his apartment, a choice piece of real estate overlooking Lincoln Center, when a halogen lamp fell on the bed, setting the place on fire and destroying everything, including his prized vibraphone. Even after multiple strokes in 1995 slowed his speech and made it hard to walk, Lionel Hampton continued to play as energetically as ever and make audiences very happy. Dean Olscher, NPR News, Washington.
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.